Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and I'm Pastor Schulze. Today we're back in John chapter 9 in the story of the healing of the man born blind. Let me remind you again that this entire 9th chapter of the Gospel of John is about the healing of the man born blind. Before we revisit this great text, let us pray. Father, we pray now for thy divine illumination on this declaration of thy sacred word. In Jesus' name, amen. In my first message on the healing of this blind man, I related to you that Jesus was badly mistreated in the temple by the Pharisees. Then he left the temple, and just outside the temple, there was the man who was born blind. And at once, Jesus attended to his need. All of this awful opposition and rejection and name-calling that Jesus experienced in the temple did not cause Jesus to go into self-pity, did not cause him to sulk or to go into depression, did not cause him to take him out from his ministry to heal his wounds, but he went right on to the next assignment, right at the doorstep of this temple, to meet the need of another person. And he healed that blind man. And then he said that this man's sickness was not because of any special sin, but it was for the glory of God. Today, let us go into the specifics of the healing of this man, into the method of the healing of this man, and let us pay attention to the words of Jesus associated with his healing, if we have time to do so. For Jesus said, "As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." This is what chapter 8 and 9 of John are all about. That is a theme, the great theme of these two chapters. Jesus is the light of the world. So Jesus presents himself over and over, I believe in the Gospel of John, 24 times as the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, the one light of the world. And as there's only one sun in our planetary system, there's only one spiritual light with a capital L in our spiritual system. And Jesus is that light. You will not come to the spiritual light until you find Jesus, until you receive Jesus and abide in Jesus. This is why there is so much darkness in all the religions of the world. They don't have Jesus, the light of the world. This is why there's darkness on the faces of all the religions in the world. Only Jesus can bring light on your face. It will only occur, my friend, as you follow him as Lord and Master. So, what is the great need of Buddhism and Hinduism and Shintoism and Islam but to have the light of the world, the light of Jesus? And what is the great need of the millions of people in our churches who are living lives of disobedience, but for them to surrender themselves, to give into the Lordship of Christ, that they might also have this light within them and upon them. Now Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So I cannot help but notice this little phrase that gets my attention, as long as I am in the world. This indicates to me that there would be a place, and of course we know that historically now, that there would be a place from that perspective at which Jesus would leave the world. And it indicates that when he would leave this world, then he would no longer be the light of the world. The text says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus left the world a few weeks after his resurrection from the dead to be with God his Father. And then, my friend, he sent the Holy Spirit into his obedient followers. And then, my friend, they became lights in the world, and so they are today. And this is brought out in the Sermon on the Mount by the Lord Jesus himself, saying in Matthew chapter 5:14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Oh, no. Don't get me wrong here. We are not the lights of the world in that we are replacing Jesus. We are lights representing Jesus. We are lights through whom Jesus now shines in this world. This is also brought out in the Pauline writings in Philippians 2, where this great apostle admonishes his followers, saying, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked, perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Again, you have this pluralism. You see, Jesus is the Son of God, but then we are sons of God also. He is the light of the world, but we are lights of the world also in a representative sense. So let me read this again. Paul speaking to the Philippians, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. My friend, if you are a Christian, if you are the only Christian in your factory, in your hospital, in your neighborhood, and you do not shine for Jesus, then there is no light in your factory, in your hospital, or in your neighborhood. Jesus is now in heaven, and he wants to shine through you. He wants to direct his light through you, that others may also come to see the beauty of the Son of God. When you murmur, your light goes out. Whenever you murmur, you no longer reflect the light of Jesus. This is why the preceding verse says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless, etc., as lights in the world. Where there are murmurings and complainings in our churches and in our homes, there is no light of the Lord Jesus. It is dark. We can also go to Ephesians 5, the 8th verse, where the Apostle Paul says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye lights in the Lord. Walk as children of light. It is interesting to notice the preceding verse of this passage also, as we did observe the preceding verse in Philippians 2. The preceding verse of this passage is, be ye not therefore partakers with them. And it is that we are not to be partakers with the children of disobedience. We're not to have fellowship with the people who are fornicators, who are covetous, who are unclean, who are foolish talkers, jesters, and idolaters. If we have fellowship with them, and if we take in their value systems and go where they go and do what they do, my friend, and watch what they watch on the television screen, listen to the music they listen to, then we are not lights of the world. Then the third reference I want to bring to your attention is in 1 Thessalonians 5, where Paul says, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Do you see, my friend, why Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world? Yes, God needs us. God needs us. God needs us to live pure and holy lives so there will be light in the world. Without us, there would be total darkness, spiritual darkness in this world. God has no other lights but us in this world. God has no other feet but ours. God has no other hands but ours in this world. I've heard that many, many years ago there was a fire in one of the churches in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and everything burned down. Everything was rubble and black and ashes except for one thing. In the middle of all this rubble of this beautiful church, there was left a statue of Christ that was untouched by the fire. And the statue of Christ had its hands stretched out, and the inscription on the bottom was, he has no hands but yours. Friend, we need Jesus so very, very much, but have you ever thought about how much Jesus needs you and me so very, very much, so that there will be lights in this world, that there will be feet to walk with God in this world. There will be hands which reach out to the needs of the world. Oh yes, God is omnipotent, and he could have chosen to work without us. He could have fed the 5,000 men without the boys, loaves and fishes. He could have gotten the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt without Moses and his staff. But God chose to limit himself to work with man and through man, in the accomplishment of his purposes for the salvation of the lost and the sanctification and the healing of people. So he has chosen us to be his lights in this world. He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Oh, it's our time to be lights for Jesus. Let me illustrate this in this way. Jesus is the great generating plant. He's the source of light, and we are the light bulbs here on the earth. We need to be spiritually wired up to Jesus. And then we need to have our bulbs in our sockets. We do that by abiding in Jesus, and through that way, we shine as lights in this crooked and perverse nation. After Jesus said that, he administered the healing to this blind man. It says, when he had thus spoken, he spit on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the blind man went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. There are about three things I want to bring to your attention real quick before we close this segment of the story of the blind man today. The one is, for this man to be healed, he had to humble himself. If you want to be helped by Jesus, you must humble yourself. The second thing that this man needed to do in order to be healed, he had to obey the Lord. Jesus said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He had to obey and do exactly what the Master told him. The third thing he had to do, he had to faith that what Jesus told him would work. What I marvel at, more than anything else in this particular incident, however, is this, that this man, after he washed in the pool of Siloam, it says, came back to Jesus. He was not like the nine lepers who received their healing and then never returned to Jesus, but went home to their families in the villages. But this man was like the one leper who came back to Jesus. He said to himself, I'm healed by this man. I'm not done with this man. I believe there might be more for me in my relationship with this man called Jesus. And as we learn next week, there was more for this blind man, or once blind man, to have and to become and to do in this relationship with this man called Jesus. Yes, he himself became a light for Jesus. Now, in closing, has Jesus ever done anything for you? If yes, go back to him and stick with him and become a light for him. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee this day for the privilege to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. We pray that you will continue to grant each one listening divine illumination of the Holy Spirit about where they are and what they need to do. We pray today you will bring conviction to sinners that they might be drawn to thee. We pray for thy drawing power, which we need to be saved. For Jesus, you said, no man can come to the Father except the Father draw him. We pray today, O Lord God, to be with those in prison for thy name's sake, that you will comfort them, encourage them, and deliver them, that you will give them visions and dreams and revelations, that you will bring to their remembrance the scriptures that they have learned in their childhood, in their youth. We pray that you give them healings in their bodies. We pray you comfort their loved ones. We pray, O Lord God, for the church to be revived and to come back to prayer, because you said, my house shall of all nations be called a house of prayer. We ask all this in your name and for your glory. Amen. Now I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye until next week. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.